Welcome everyone to another episode of Stadium Cast, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is John, aka Jer Honda, aka Mr. Business, aka Birthday Boy. Happy belated birthday, John.
Oh, gee,
am I
thanks.
Allowed to say how old you are?
Might as well let everybody know I'm officially an old timer.
The big 30. Wow.
Yep.
You look older, man. You look more mature. I don't know if you're suited to be talking about bunnies and bears anymore at this point.
Oh man, Mr. Business will always love Pokemon. I don't care how old I get.
I gotta get Jiggly Dad to sing you happy birthday on one of his Twitch sings. That was a missed opportunity, to be honest. I should have gotten him to do that yesterday.
But yeah.
Hopefully, you had a phenomenal birthday, and I feel like it was absolutely necessary. I saw you told me about it on Sunday. You had last track of time and who you were, and you wanted to record yesterday.
I was already getting dementia in my old age.
Yeah. Well, today we will not be talking about John's birthday. We're going to be talking about current events. We are in Dragon Week. We will be talking a little bit about Magikarp Community Day, Scraggy in the August Breakthrough, and more. Kakuna's Corner is back, and we will be exploring Gyarados and Abomasnow with the deep dive. You'll be hearing the interview I did with Tho Tactical in the Champion Spotlight, and AJ's Alphabet is also back, unfortunately. We'll wrap up, as we usually do, with the Speculation Station and a topic that I find really interesting. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's get into the stadium. All right. Well, we have made it. We are in the first week of our Ultra Unlock in Dragon Week. It has just been amazing. All the shiny Dinos are popping out of these 7K eggs like firecrackers. They're everywhere. How many have you gotten?
Zero. Well, I got the two from the quest, but yeah, zero.
Two shiny Dinos?
No. That's just normal Dinos. Oh. Yeah.
I haven't hatched any 7Ks, but I don't know if it's just people like pulling my leg, but you know, I've heard so much about all these Dinos that everyone's been hatching.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you've been hearing?
No, I've actually heard quite a big racket of drama from people complaining, believe it or not. They are complaining that there's not enough Dinos.
Complaining? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Bunch of complainers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Zvilus, super interesting for PvP Great League. Hydreigon, also interesting for, I suppose, mainly Master League Premier, but honestly, it's quite squishy with its double weakness to Charm, among other things. But the main thing has been that people were kind of expecting Shiny Dino to be rare, but they weren't expecting Dino to be quite as rare as it is. Reports are claiming that Dino is about a 2% hatch rate in 7-kilometer eggs. So serves you guys right for spending all your precious Pokecoins on incubators.
I'll be honest. I mean, I haven't done a lot of hatching of 7Ks. I still had some leftover eggs that I refused to put in incubators during GoFest because I got sick and tired of being stopped to hatch eggs. So I just left them out of incubators. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people being upset. And honestly, You know, I think Cody was saying he had hatched like something like 100 eggs or something like that.
Yeah, Cody's being a really big crybaby on Twitter. I mean, the rants that I've seen from him. I mean, I'd expect that from other people, but Cody,
well,
too.
Well, he is the director of propaganda.
That's true. Yeah, well, I understand the frustration, right? The expectations were mismanaged. I know people were expecting a lot of Swablu there in the wild, and I don't think anybody was really expecting like hordes of Gible and Dino in the wild, but there was a reasonable track record in terms of 7Ks that there would at least be like a 10 or, you know, like 5 or 10% chance, something like that, of Dinos hatching from eggs, and then the shiny would still be quite rare.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of our local trainers catching Gibbles when they're out playing. Yeah. You know, I'm still working from home. I haven't really made it out to play much this week other than, you know, my home spawn point. And I've seen some Shelgon spawns, just a ton of Dratini, Trapinch, obviously Swablu, and things like that. Some, you know, second tier evolutions like Dragonair and Shelgon I mentioned, but no Dinos and no Gibbles either. I think my wife and I were at my grandparents for my birthday. We were having just sort of a small family get together with people that we've, you know, been around, nobody outside family. And they had a Gibble spawn at their house. They have a small spawn point at their house, and there was a Gibble there, but not much else. I mean, I remember getting more Dino from rewards in Go Battle League last season than I've seen out of this event. So I understand why some people may be frustrated that they thought they'd be seeing more.
I would say this is my advice, take it or leave it, but it's worked for me. When there's something that is so heavily predicated on RNG, look at whether or not the grind itself is useful to you. So for example, if you really want that shiny Riolu and you're not going to get anything out of the egg hatches that are not shiny Riolu, then I'd question whether or not you actually want to do that. But on the flip side, during that event where shiny Riolu was a possibility, you could get a lot of Riolu candy. So personally, anytime I hatched a Riolu at all, it was useful to me because I was getting the candy that I wanted. During egg events where you have increased stardust, or candy, anything that will not be predicated on RNG, that's when I participate. But if it's all based on whether or not you get that shiny or that rare encounter, then that's where I'm less willing to spend, and certainly spend any kind of money, but sometimes like even participate. So that's how I kind of modulate my expectations so that I'm not disappointed later. But I understand that a lot of people, especially like shiny collectors, people that just need the candy for this Pokemon, they'd be disappointed. And it's okay to be disappointed, right?
Yeah, these green shinies are definitely hard to come by. I know a lot of people are very upset that they're not able to get one. I've only seen just a handful across social media. Yeah. So
I'm actually cool with it being really shiny, really rare. I think it's a good thing. Yeah. Like, it should be an accomplishment.
It's almost like shiny Zubat. Like, I still don't have a shiny Zubat. Right.
Yeah.
And I get just a tiny bit excited every time I see one spawn now because, you know, there's just that little bit of chance that it could be shiny. But in other news, they are shutting down Pokemon Go, and we're playing Magikarp Jump this weekend. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Man, how exciting would it be if Magikarp Community Day was all kinds of different forms of Magikarp, like in Magikarp Jump?
I could see them doing it, though, honestly. I mean,
there's no way.
I mean, I don't think they're going to, but I'm just saying, I think, you know, eventually that could be an extension of the game to have, you know, different forms of Magikarp. But I don't know. It's a little out there, but what I'm more excited about is Gyarados is going to be able to learn Aqua Tail.
Yeah.
Now, some people thought that this was initially not really that exciting, but after looking at the data, this is going to be quite a bit of a meta shifter for Gyarados' usage in not only Great League, but also Ultra League and possibly Master League. Is that right?
Well, we'll look at it a little bit more in depth. I think meta shifter is a bit generous, but we will definitely be focusing on Gyarados during our deep dive segment today. I'm really excited for Magikarp Community Day. It's going to be a super easy to catch Pokemon. You could use your Go Plus. You could fast catch. Whatever you like. It's going to be triple Stardust. Gyarados has a Mega Evolution. Personally, one of the few things that I collect is the largest possible carp. So, you know, right now my largest carp is 21.17 kilograms, and I'm hoping to find one that's even larger. I know that some people are still working on that badge that might be new to the game. It's an awesome shiny, that gold shiny, or if you like the red Gyarados, it's also pretty cool. And Aqua Tail is going to be a good move for PvP. It's a high DPS raid Pokemon that's very budget friendly. And again, like, I'd be super stoked if they implemented patterns like in Magikarp Jump, but I highly doubt that it's all going to be added into the game between now and then. Normally, we'd see some kind of leaks coming in from the awesome Pokeminers. So I am excited for this community day. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Maybe I'll finally get my gold badge for these big Magikarps.
You don't have your gold badge
for that? I still don't have it. No, still don't.
Wow. Well, you can trade. You can actually trade. So if you're close but no cigar on Saturday, you can trade with your friends and ask them for a bigger one. I'm going to actually put it out there on my trading channel, my local trading channel, that if they hatch, if they catch a Magikarp that is larger than 22 kilograms, I am so down to trade something valuable for it, because that's like one of the weird things that I try to keep.
You weird fish hoarder. I actually have a funny story that I remember in 2018, we went to GoFest, and there was an issue where Niantic was unable to send out the tickets and wristbands in time. When they were still doing wristbands, it wasn't really tied to your in-game profile just yet, I think. Something like that. And we all had to go to a specific place. I think it was somewhere close to Grant Park. And we had to stand in this long line to wait until we got up to the tent to get our packets with our wristbands and tickets that had the little thing with the QR code. I still have it in my office in here somewhere. And I remember people walking up and down the line going, I've got extra large Magikarps and tiny rats for trade, you know, trying to complete their badges and stuff like that.
Good times. So, I used to keep like nine of them each, but nobody wants them anymore. So I've cut down significantly on those, yeah, that trade fodder. Scraggy is the August breakthrough encounter. You can now complete your stamps, and on the seventh day, your breakthrough will be Scraggy. I know there's some mixed opinions about it. It is certainly better than what we've had in the past few months, but a lot of people still want their legendaries, and I think we're at a point where we should not expect them to come back anytime soon. You have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I really don't think that the legendaries are going to come back in the breakthroughs anytime soon. I think there's plenty of opportunities for them to be introduced via shadow encounters or bringing them back into the raid fold, especially now with remote raids. I think that having them come through on the research breakthroughs is probably not going to be something that's as common as it was when research breakthroughs first started. So, am I a big fan of Scraggy? Not really. I mean, honestly, for PvP value, you really want those so that you can trade them and try and get a better stat spread.
Well, the hundo.
Ultra League is something you want to look for, because it can max out and best buddy under 2,500, I believe. So, you know, maybe that's something you want, but for the most part, it's not really exciting. I still do them every week. I still try and get all my stamps. It's just something that's part of that trainer life, you know. You got to do your research.
That hustle.
But, yeah.
The candy is good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely good to stock up on that so that you can, if you ever do get that illustrious, beautiful stat spread on a Scrafty, or really a Scraggy that you can then evolve, being able to double move it and power up is going to be really important. So speaking of new things happening, our GoFest makeup is scheduled for August the 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time. It's going to feature the Fire, Water, and Friendship habitats. Those are going to be rotating on the hour, just like they did during GoFest. If you want to look for some prep tips, you know, you can definitely search YouTube or check out our episode 14, where we talked about, you know, how we prepared for GoFest as battlers. And so are you prepping anything for your makeup day, AJ?
I've been slowly stacking gifts now, so I'm barely opening up any gifts. If you're on my friends list, I've only been sending gifts to people that currently I have a gift from. And John, that reminds me, you need to send me a gift, because if they don't, allow us to open unlimited gifts that day, it will be very sweet. And at that point, it'll be like kind of too late to prepare, right? You know, message all your friends to get them to send you gifts is too much. And you get one rare candy for each gift. So it's a win-win for me. Even if they don't increase the cap, you know, I'll still get 20 candy, and it's not a big deal to have a bunch of gifts waiting for me.
Okay. Well, I'll send you one, buddy, and I'll be sure to put a sticker on it for you.
Okay.
All right. So next up in this episode, we have a special edition of Kakuna's Corner this week. So without further ado, let's throw it to Matt from PVPoke.com in this week's episode or edition of Kakuna's Corner.
Hi, it's Matthew from PVPoke, and welcome to Kakuna's Corner. Today we're going to take a look at some trends at the beginning of Season 3 for Go Battle League, and also we're going to dive into some training battle data for Great League and top teams. Starting off with some of the most searched Pokemon in the Great League rankings, we have Galarian Stunfisk, Azumarill, who are the big two, top two most searched, and then Altaria and Skarmory. Now, Altaria's numbers are probably going to be dropping in the current meta. You've probably already noticed. Next up, we have Umbreon, Abomasnow, a newcomer with Weather Ball and Powder Snow. Very, very fun. Mantine, Bastiodon, Deoxys Defense, Shadow Machamp, who I'm surprised has legs to stay competitive. Oh, there's been previous times that a fighting type has cracked the top 10 or so, and Hitmontop comes to mind. But those picks didn't usually pan out, but Shadow Machamp, pretty hype. Drifblim, Pelipper, Alolan Marowak. If you're fire blasting already, you know the hype behind that pick. Overall, very interesting stuff, and I'm very interested to see how the trends shift over the next couple of weeks. Moving on to training battle data, people have been training hard over the past week. Let's check in quickly on the top performers for the last week or so. Razorleaf Tropius is number one. Tropius has been a mainstay on the top performers list. This time, Razorleaf is great against Azumarill and Galarian Stunfisk, better than the Air Slash variant. Next up is Umbreon, Dark Pulse Umbreon, which is a bit of a surprise. You've maybe encountered Dark Pulse Umbreon in a Catacomb Cup. In Open Great League, Dark Pulse has a little better matchup against Galarian Stunfisk and Tropius, so that's an interesting thing to try. Cresselia following up with a lot of potential move sets. We've got Psycho Cut, Grass Knot Moonblast, Psycho Cut, Grass Knot Future Sight, Confusion, Grass Knot Moonblast. All of them are looking very viable. Shadow Abomasnow, if you were lucky enough to get one of these and TM it during the previous events, it's looking like a monster with positive matchups against Azumarill. Even being able to win against Galarian Stunfisk and Skarmory. Medicham with Power Punch and Psychic is next up on the top performers list. Medicham has been waiting a long time. It's been kind of overshadowed by other picks since its dominance in the early days of PvP. But it's seen some resurgence, especially on the Asian Milkman team of Dewgong, Medicham, and Munchlax. And it's been seeing a lot of success in training battles this past week, so that's pretty exciting. Deoxys Defense, either it's Rock Slide Thunderbolt or Rock Slide Psycho Boost variant. I'm a fan of the Psycho Boost myself, but definitely obviously cases to be made for Thunderbolt with Azumarill and Skarmory running around. Bastiodon, look out. If you see a Bastiodon, watch out for a Shadow Victory Bell around the corner. That's always a scary sight. Clefable is an interesting one. I don't know if Charm has a whole ton of targets in the current meta. We'll keep an eye on that as numbers develop. Sableye, okay, speaking of targets for Charm, Sableye, of course. Return Sableye. Hopefully you got a good Shadow one over the Rocket event. Registeel is still in the game, putting up a positive team rating. Teams with Registeel are putting up a battle rating of 508 on average, which is they're winning more than they're losing, so that's a good sign. Registeel, not out of it yet. Azumarill is performing best with its Ice Beam and Hydro Pump moveset. You'll probably hear proponents for alternative movesets for Azumarill. They're all looking pretty good. Play Rough Hydro Pump is after that, and then let me just do a quick search here. Ice Beam Play Rough is a little down the list. It's a little underperforming. If you can make it work, though, if you're enjoying it, I guess keep going with it. Who am I to tell you? But yeah, that's a quick glance at the training battle data. How about for some top teams? As you might expect, a lot of the top performing teams from the past week feature Galarian Stunfisk, Azumarill, and a grass type. That's usually Abomasnow, even Shadow Abomasnow. Venusaur's in there, Meganium's in there. Lots of Azumarill Stunfisk teams. Shadow Machamp with Cresselia and Stunfisk is pretty exciting. The flavor of the week is definitely Stunfisk, Azumarill, grass, and then Skarmory mixed in there as well. So if you're looking for some way to counter the meta, or just trying to look for a solid team to climb up the ranks, I'd say that's a good place to start. See you next week, and looking forward to what we're going to find next time.
All right. Thank you, Matt. For more regular updates, or if you simply want to contribute to the PV Poke project, head on over to pvpoke.com/contribute. So it's time for our next segment, the deep dive. And boy, do I have to say, I had a really good time making the new bumper for this segment. I think you guys will enjoy this.
Let it run.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for that deep, deep dive. Dive right on in, AJ.
You're getting better at this, John. This not the making the segments bit, but the dad jokes and the sort of humor that as you get older and older is just, it's getting more mature. I'm enjoying it.
Well, what can I say? I did turn 30 this weekend, so.
That's right. So Gyarados is our first candidate for our deep dive today, and I think it's super appropriate given that it is going to get Aqua Tail this next weekend.
Gyarados with Aqua Tail? Wait, mm-hmm. Isn't Aqua Tail supposed to be like a bad move?
So technically, it is just about average. It's not great. It's not awful. It's just right on that cusp there of being okay. If you compare it to Crunch, it's less energy. But with Stab, it becomes a little bit more efficient than Crunch. And Gyarados isn't a dark type when it's not Mega Evolved. So, with that Aqua Tail, that Water Stab, it does end up performing a little bit better. So I will say this, there is going to be, by the time this airs, there's going to be a collaboration article on Go Stadium. StadiumGaming.gg will have an article by a lot of people, and it'll be even more in-depth than this, focusing on Great League, on some Ultra League stuff, and even Master League. So starting with Great League,
I don't think it's, I mean, we've never really seen Gyarados used that much in Great League. And I mean, I understand it's getting a sort of a spammy charge move that gets stabbed, but I mean, you're talking about a really, really glassy Gyarados at that low level. Should I be even excited to use it in Great League with this move?
If you want to compare to something with a similar stat product, a good one is Alolan Raichu. It's actually a little bit more frail than Alolan Raichu, but just like not noticeably more frail. And it's not far behind Dragonair or Empoleon either. None of those really strike me as particularly bulky Pokemon, and Gyarados, neutral to a lot of things, it really only has two weaknesses, right? One of them is a double weakness to electric, and the other is a weakness to rock, which are pretty prevalent in the meta. But honestly, I'd say, just to preface this, in Great League, it's not that great, okay? It's very frail. It takes a lot of neutral damage across the board. It has some pretty good resistances, but comparing it to Dragonair, for example, it picks up a better IV-dependent win against Altaria in the one shield, but then, as an example, it drops the Bastion matchup, right? So it's kind of a side grade. It's not a strict upgrade or downgrade to Dragonair. It does have some trade-offs. It ultimately does perform very similarly. It's a Dragon Breath user that is not weak to Dragon Breath, and that dual water flying typing is both a blessing and a curse, right? Ultimately, what hurts it the most is not its typing, it's just the lack of bulk. And sometimes that not being weak to Dragon Bit as a Dragon Breather just means its output of damage is even lower, right? Because it doesn't have Stab. Another interesting comparison would be to Empoleon, because Gyarados doesn't only have to run Dragon Breath as the fast move, it can also run Waterfall. So it's essentially worse than Empoleon across the board. However, sometimes that flying typing helps it a little bit against anti-tanks, right? So like Toxicroak, things that rely on ground moves very heavily, like Whiscash, it's performing a little bit better against those versus like Empoleon is taking super effective due to its steel typing. The thing is, like, now Empoleon did get Drill Peck, so it's got coverage against some of those things, and both of them tend to lose because they just get either outbulked or out TDO'd, right? So ultimately, I'd say in Great League, it picks up a few bait-dependent wins against psychic types like Cresselia, but the fact that it can't go straight Crunch against Cresselia or DD is a bit of a problem, right? I'd say. Generally, those are quite bulky, though, so you might end up getting a Crunch through anyway.
Yeah, Gyarados is just so glassy at that 1500 CP level, so I know you used it quite a bit in Ultra League last season. Is it any better in Ultra League using it in that safe swap role or even as a leader, a closer with Dragon Breath in the world of Giratinas?
As you know, I already found Gyarados to be quite interesting in Ultra League. It actually performs better now with Aqua Tail. The water damage is really welcome in general, and you don't have to charge all the way up to a Hydro Pump, which sometimes you don't even get to. Aqua Tail does come with Stab, so like I said, a little bit better in DP than Crunch. And it's also 10 less energy because, you know, that might not sound like a lot, but it is quite a few Dragon Breath. So it can definitely make a huge difference in close matchups that can be difficult to just plug into the simulator. So some pickups, right? It does have a pickup against Swampert in the zero shield scenario. Normally, the way this plays out in Ultra League, you have a Swampert swaps in, Gyarados counter swaps, and sometimes the Swampert will straight up not shield. It'll go straight Hydro Cannon. And Gyarados cannot afford to go all the way to a Hydro Pump because then Swampert can shield and you lose. So what happens a lot is the Gyarados ends up going straight Crunch. And although Swampert is going to lose, they're going to lose at a shield advantage. Because if the Gyarados doesn't shield that third, I believe, Hydro Cannon, then that's going to flip that matchup right there. So what I'm saying here is that with straight Aqua Tail, you can beat Swampert in the zero shield. So that's great. That extra low damage also helps against things like Typhlosion, believe it or not, Shiftry. Definitely helps against Obstagoon, which is before Crunch was just tickling it, and Outrager Hydro Pump just took too long. It's definitely enough time to get a boost in there from Night Slash, which is a massive headache for Gyarados. Helps against Alolan Muk and Snorlax. Now you don't have to rely on just an all-or-nothing Hydro Pump against Snorlax, right? It actually makes it more reliable. None of these, of course, except Typhlosion, are a matchup Gyarados really wants to be in, but they're very common matchups within Ultra League, and we obviously welcome being a little bit better against close matchups. You do lose some stuff, right? You lose the possibility of a straight-up nuke against Charmers, right? Mainly, it would be Togekiss and Clefable. But you can still bluff that. You can still charge up to what would be a Hydro Pump and then just spam the Aqua Tails and hopefully you get a shield on the first one. Or you could just straight up surprise them. You could run Hydro Pump on your Gyarados and I think people would be less likely to shield that. I mean, it would be really tilting, right? If you're going three matchups in a row with your Charmer that's supposed to counter a Dragon Breath user, and then they go for the Aqua Tail, and they're like, well, screw this. I'm not shielding any more Aqua Tails. And then you get that sweet Hydro Pump in and just nuke that Charmer out of this world.
Yeah, I know last season a lot of people were running Togekiss, and that was definitely an upside for Gyarados, was having that Hydro Pump available to come in and really hit that nuke move against an opposing Togekiss. So this season, does Aqua Tail make that any better in specifically the Premier Cup, where you're not having to worry about legendaries and mythicals?
Well, in Premier, it's also better, very similar to Ultra League. It just makes it more reliable in matchups it was doing quite well against. Like, it's not a big deal to sacrifice a little bit of, you know, 35 worth of energy, which is Aqua Tail, as opposed to having to commit to like a Crunch or a even a Hydro Pump, certainly within Master League. It's much more reliable again against Snorlax. Overall, it's not a huge shift in the simulations, right? It's a lower energy charge move that will close the gap on a lot of close calls that before really relied on that Hydro Pump. And again, just those are really hard to capture within the sims. I would say Gyarados stands only to gain from Aqua Tail in all three leagues, primarily in Ultra League and Master League, but you know how things go. A Sylph Cup could be right around the corner. Maybe it carves itself a niche within Cliffhanger, and there you go. I mean, that's when it would be viable potentially in Great League. Like I said, primarily Ultra League and Master League, and primarily I believe that Dragon Breath, Aqua Tail, and Crunch will be the preferred moveset. But you know what? This improves the possibility of actually landing a nuke move like Hydro Pump or Outrage, which is awesome. I think Gyarados will welcome Aqua Tail in every sense possible. And most people will be running Aqua Tail, but you know, with so many moves, you could certainly surprise people. And it was already viable before, so why not just run the moveset that was already viable, right?
Right. I think it's definitely going to be a welcoming addition to Gyarados being used, especially in Ultra League and Master League. But right now we're in Great League, and I've been hearing just a ton about Abomasnow. And I started running it, but then I thought, let me not be a part of this. Let me be a part of the counter club. And I'm still running my all shadow team, but I'm still seeing a lot of Abomasnow, and if I had a shadow Abomasnow, I may have added it to my team, but I don't. But my question is it worth all of this hype that we're seeing in Great League?
I will say I am absolutely loving running my shadow Abomasnow in Great League. It is so unique. It beats grass types. It is a completely unique dual typing that allows Abomasnow to fill that usual role of grass. And it's also a case-by-case anti-flyer with Weatherball Ice. My opinion, I think someone at Niantic must absolutely adore Abomasnow, because almost every single one of its moves have been reworked at some point, and now it's gotten the additional charge move of Weatherball Ice, and it's not even like Legacy or anything like that. So it's just straight up in its move pool. I'm enjoying it very much. My IVs are atrocious. It's like a 1479 CP, and it's absolutely putting in some serious work in Great League. Weatherball Ice with Stab and the 20% damage boost is no joke. Powder Snow charges already quite quickly, and now the damage output allows you to farm in some cases. So I am, you know, like I said, it's worth the hype for me.
So for those of people who may not have a Shadow Abomasnow like me, I have one that's decent stat product that I went ahead and put the moves on it, double moved it, you know, played around in practice with it a little bit in some private matches, and, you know, just to see how it worked. But I know you're running Shadow, but from the data standpoint, what are you liking, Shadow or Normal?
Shadow. And here's why. Shadow picks up one shield Toxicroak, believe it or not. Toxicroak has to go straight counter and win at a shield deficit in order to beat Shadow Toxic Abomasnow. So let me just say that again so that sinks in. A poison fighting type Toxicroak has to use a shield and counter down as opposed to being at equal shields to beat Abomasnow. All right. That is a little bit IV dependent, so maybe my Abomasnow doesn't quite make that, but quite a few will. Stunfisk, that would be Galarian Stunfisk, is actually a matchup that Shadow picks up. And believe it or not, Skarmory, in theory, in the one shield, is also a favored matchup for Shadow Abomasnow. However, in my personal experience, I'm normally switching out of those anyway, because you can't really afford to shield those matchups, maybe except G-Fisk. But here's the thing. If you're matched up later against them with very, very slight energy differential or certainly at a shield advantage, Shadow Abomasnow absolutely wrecks them. So personal preference, Shadow all the way. The weakness obliterates both version, but a spammy move like Weatherball Ice combined with a 20% increase in damage is absolutely insane.
So what are you scared of with your Abomasnow? Like what's something that you're really going to have trouble with?
Easily fire. Alolan Marowak with Fire Spin. Although Hex Marowak is kind of trending right now. Fire Fang Mawile and just steel types in general that resist both ice and grass. So like a caveat to that, of course, like G-Fisk takes neutral from Abomasnow. So that wouldn't be something that I really fear. But something like Melmetal resist both moves. Certainly Registeel, which has fallen out of favor. Those, I basically have no play against them, so I got to switch out.
Hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Hex, Alolan Marowak, my Shadow Lapras with, I used an Elite TM on it, has been enjoying the addition and hype of Hex, Alolan Marowak, you know, trying to go for those Fire Blasts. I love just surfing away. But what losing matchups do you have play against with something? You've got a dual weakness. You are scared of, you know, fighters, you know, putting in hard damage and things like that. But do you have any play against those?
Yeah. So the thing that fighters have in common, like Toxicroak and Machamp, is that they tend to be frail. And especially Machamp has been favored in the Shadow version. So you can basically switch out, play out whatever the counter switch is, and then later Abomasnow can just unload energy on them in the late game. And Weatherball Ice is not the kind of move that frail Pokemon like Shadow Machamp can really take comfortably. Skarmory and Ferrothorn, again, they tend to be losses. But Ferrothorn, for example, doesn't run Flash Cannon as much. Takes longer for it to charge to it. Skarmory is also taking neutral from Weatherball Ice, so you can basically charge up to two and go back to back on some of those. This is a scenario where Shadow is favored a little bit more, but I think the normal version can certainly have play against them too.
Hmm. So what do you like to see? I assume you're running this in the lead when you run it?
Yeah, personally, if I lead a Abomasnow and I get like an Azumarill or a Mudboy, it's pretty good for me. Azumarill can still threaten it with like neutral Ice Beam. This is one scenario where Shadow is a little bit worse, right? Because Ice Beam does pack quite a punch. Mudboys are also pretty good, but Swampert, for example, even if it throws a resisted Hydro Cannon, because it's so attack weighted, because Hydro Cannon is such a strong move, you do have some play if you're one of those against Abomasnow. But I do like to see them in the lead because it does favor me.
Okay. So what are those matchups that, you know, you throw your Abomasnow out, your Shadow Abomasnow out, and you see that opposing trainer throw out their first Pokemon, and you're just like, you're saying it in your head, you love to see it. What are those matchups?
Easily Altaria, easily Grass. Altaria, not so much because, well, Sky Attack's still going to nuke it. Dragon Breath's still going to chip away. But, man, like, watching the HP bar on Altaria when you start hitting those Powder Snows, you can just, like, farm town against it. And one Weather Ball Ice is going to just overkill it. So it's a great matchup for you. Altaria has fallen out of favor, but you know what hasn't fallen out of favor? Grass types. So if you see those like Shadow Victory Bell that have been so popular, certainly like Venusaur or Meganium, a lot of these don't have, it takes too long for them to get to a move that really threatens. And Weather Ball Ice is doing super effective. Powder Snow is doing super effective. So you absolutely love to see those. And you should expect them to switch out right away if they're locked in against you.
So I know last season you enjoyed, well, not necessarily last season. I'm sure you used it, but I know you were able to get to rank 10 in season 1 using the aforementioned Caleb Pang line of Skarmory Double Grass that's seen some modifications, but is similarly still used a little bit, still seeing it a lot in GBL. So how does Shadow Abomasnow work its way around Skarmory and Double Grass? Obviously, you know, we talked about it has winning matchups against Skarmory and against Grass types, but what are you seeing as a core to pair up with an Abomasnow in Great League to work around that very popular line of three?
Azumarill is a phenomenal buddy to Abomasnow. Pretty much anybody that's taking Great League seriously has an Azumarill at this point, and it takes out a lot of the targets, right? So like fire, certainly the fighters, right? It's just like a really good partner to Abomasnow. Some others, you know, like I've been pairing it up with Defense Deoxys as a safe switch because you don't want to sacrifice your only counter in Azumarill. And DD has some play with Rock Slide against fire types like Alolan Marowak. So like they're kind of in a weird spot if they have an Alolan Marowak lead, you switch out to DD and you're like, well, what do I do? Do I stay and have to like potentially shield these Rock Slides? Do I play the bait game with like Bone Club or Shadow Ball? So like it just kind of keeps them on their toes a little bit. And if then their Marowak is really debilitated there at the end, then maybe I can just like take it out with one final Weather Ball Ice. So I think that Azumarill is a great partner. What you choose to switch out in a matchup, you just have to be prepared for it to be something that will obviously get counter switched, right? Because if it's something like a fire type or a fighter, then you know they're going to want to save it for the Abomasnow later. In terms of like against the Caleb Peng line, you know, I'd normally switch out of the Skarmory right away and then, you know, try to line up the Abomasnow with one of their grass and then be able to unload Weatherball Ice against that Skarmory, which really doesn't appreciate them anyway.
Interesting. All right. So definitely going to have to try and find me a good Shadow Snover to try and make one of those. It's very, very interesting. And I was a little upset that I looked in my inventory and did not have
one. Oh, you don't have one?
So I don't have a Shadow.
Yes.
So
makes my day.
Another win for AJ.
Mm. Happy birthday. Happy early birthday to me.
Oh, me. So earlier this week, AJ sat down with our previous champion of our Go Team Up team tournament series, and they are back-to-back champions, the EU Emperors. You sat down with Though Tactical and did an interview with them, so we're going to take a moment and throw it to that interview in this week's edition of the Champion Spotlight.
All right, I am here with Though Tactical. First ever consecutive champion of the Go Team Up event, member of the EU Emperors. He's part of a powerhouse team. I mean, normally having you on a team alone would be something to be worried about, but with Elisa Nobile, Alvarito Owens, Ricky the Nut as your mascot now, I suppose, because he decided to sit out the last tournament. I know anybody who's matched up, especially at the beginning of a Go Team Up, would be, you know, shaking in their boots, really, really concentrating on those matchups. So welcome. How are you today?
Hey there, AJ. Appreciate you having me here. Yeah, I am really happy with my team. Love all of them. And like you said, they're really, really strong players.
Yeah. So how did this team form? How did it come to be? I know at least you and the Nut theory craft a lot behind the scenes, but did you know Elisa and Ricky back when you started, and how did it come to be?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I knew Ricky first. I knew him from a remote lobby. We started battling back in Tempest, so a long time ago. And I also battled with Elisa around that time. But we first met in Dortmund at the European Championships. That's where I met Ricky and Eliza. I didn't meet the Nut there yet, but Ricky did meet him because they both went to top 8 in the European Championships there. But our friendship really started in Mainz at the Ultimate Showdown there.
Yeah, good times.
The European Ultimate Showdown, for sure. Yeah, that was awesome. Me, the Nut, Eliza, and Ricky met up there, and we had a great time. And Alvarito kind of saw us on the leaderboards, saw our battles, and he kind of snuck into our friend lists. So we all battled him, and when the Nut decided to take a break for a little while, he was a perfect addition to the team.
Why did he decide to take a break? I mean, he's taken a lot of breaks, so I don't take those super seriously. See, he'll say, I'm quitting PvP, and then 3 days later he's back. But he did sit out this tournament, right? So you have any insight on what happened there? What happened?
Well, you know, Pokemon Go, it breaks every once in a while. And especially now the game is at its worst, it's like ever been. And besides that, he was also busy with college. So it makes sense to take a little break.
Are you telling me that the nut reads at a college level?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. I like to tease him. Any chance I get to tease the nut a little
bit. We all like
to
tease him.
Yeah. So Alvarito, he was added later on. You know, what was the dynamic there? It was like the nut sitting out and we have to find a new team member? Or was he kind of, Alvarito is kind of interested in the team to begin with? How did that kind of come to be?
Well, we always kind of had the idea to add another member.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case someone wanted to take a break. And it's nice to have a fifth member just for team building and for pre-game analysis. And Alvarito was always, at least in my mind and in the nut's mind. So when he decided to take a break, that was just, a good option.
Yeah. And you guys all seem to get along. Like I've had you guys on streams where, you know, after the second Go Team Up event, you guys all kind of hopped on and it just seemed to me that you all mesh well. Was that sort of your first impression of each other? Did any of you guys rub each other the wrong way when you first met, or has it been just from the beginning to now, has it just always kind of worked out?
It has always worked out. Like from the start, we were friends pretty much.
Yeah. And you guys are all in EBL, right? I believe that's the European Battle League server.
European Pokemon League.
Oh, EPL. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly me, Elisa, and Ricky. We are in the same lobby there. And the Nut joined later on. He joined this season, like later on this season. And Alvarito is not in European Pokemon League.
Okay. And he's from, was it Barcelona or Madrid? Or where from Spain is he from?
I don't know exactly where.
Yeah.
But he's from Spain.
Yeah. It was interesting. I think he's from Barcelona. I hope I'm not misspeaking there. It's like, I live in Barcelona myself for about 11 years. So it's just cool to see totally different cultures. Like in America, we kind of make the mistake of lumping Europe into one big thing, but the cultures are totally different. So it's really cool to see a team that meshes as well as you guys do and comes from very, very different cultures.
Sure. You see it in Pokemon Go as well. You have Europe that kind of all plays together, and then you have Spain that kind of plays together with Latin America.
Right. Yeah,
it's almost like they're more a part of Latin America than from Europe usually.
That's totally true. Yeah. When I was in before Pokemon Go and back when I was living in Spain, I found myself because I'm dual citizenship, you know, like I'd sometimes be in the American crowd, sometimes I'd be in the Spanish crowd, and they don't mix as much. Obviously, there's the language barrier, but like in Germany, for example, there's definitely like a more openness, whatever you might want to call it, to just learn English and, you know, on an international level, just interact with English. So like I said, it was cool to see someone from like a totally different culture, different language as well, join the team. And Ricky and Elisa, they're from Italy, I think.
Yep, Italy.
And you are from, both you and the Nut are from Germany, right?
No, I'm from the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, right.
The Nut is from Germany.
Right. Yep. So, like I said, I think of those, Netherlands and Germany, probably the most similar culture, but... when you guys, in terms of like team building, team dynamics, and you look at this draft format, which is pretty unique, right? We, from Go Stadium, issue the 5 Pokemon that are banned based on random selection within cliffhanger tiers. And, you know, this time around, I believe Hypno, Bronzong, to name a few, are banned. So, like, a lot of Confusion users are removed. How do you approach this draft versus the previous one? Is there any major impact that the bans have? You know, do you guys start with certain cores that you really like? What is the sort of the process that you guys go through in order to draft?
Well, it kind of evolved over time. I think in the first couple drafts, we just sat in a call and just started from scratch. Looked at what the top contenders were, what the top Pokemon were, and in that meta, kind of divided them between the teams, and then looked for more synergy. And well, that kind of works, but usually it takes a lot of trial and error. So what we started doing in this previous draft is divide all the Pokemon into certain groups. Actually, this time it was Ricky and Elisa that did the groundwork for us. We had like six group flyers, anti-flyers, tanks, and they divided the Pokemon in those groups. And then out of those groups, they created cores with two or three Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And we divided those between the teams. And then you already have a solid core set. And then whatever you add, it will just make the team better.
Right. So you kind of divide into cores, and then I guess different team members, depending on the resources available, pick certain cores. Yeah. Is there any core that you just really love and you pick it right away? Or are you kind of more relaxed in whatever core works as long as the other team members get what they want?
I am very relaxed. Mm-hmm. About, you know, I am not really attached to any certain core, but I love the very, very flexible cores. So something like Sableye Azumarill is a good one, or Deoxys and Registeel. Very flexible cores. And I know Ricky, for example, he loves his Skarmory Whiskash core.
Yeah. Oh, so it's such a good core.
We always give that to him first, mm-hmm, because he plays that so well. And then the rest just picks the rest.
And it's even better now because Skarmory has flexibility and a little bit of uncertainty in the moveset, which it didn't have.
Yep. But Skarmory is banned this time. So
right. That's right. That is right.
They're indirectly nerfing Ricky.
They are. Yeah. Well, it's one of those picks that adds some versatility, right? Because you look at Skarmory and what it does in draft, it really has very limited counters, not within the top meta, but obviously the top meta has to be distributed among four people. And, yeah, I mean, I quite like Skarmory. I chose Skarmory Whiscash core for the previous GTU. So I'm a little bummed I can't pick it this time either, but, surely in a future draft, I think once it becomes available, I think people are going to default to that Brave Bird Sky Attack, but I wouldn't sleep on Flash Cannon definitely. Either.
Definitely. And I am excited for this draft because Skarmory is very strong. It's also the king of the flyers. It beats pretty much all flyers besides Zapdos. So maybe this time around we'll see some other flyers like Noctowl or Golbat really shine.
Yeah. And Skarmory can at least put up a fight against things like Shadow Abomasnow, which I know you and I both like. We had the pleasure of battling last night, and you absolutely wrecked me with your team. I don't want to give it away, but we had in the lead, we had our Shadow Abomasnow, which was pretty interesting. But you know, it just absolutely ruins Altaria's day, that particular pick. I think Abomasnow is going to be pretty much on every single team, at least, you know, obviously only one member can choose it. But it's going to for sure be on every team, I think.
Yeah, Bomasnow. Maybe we'll see some Pelipper as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also a new cool mon.
Absolutely. So when you guys are prepping for the matches, you guys kind of like all go on your own? Do you bounce ideas off each other? Maybe join in on a call to watch the matches? How's your sort of approach for the individual matches?
Yeah, we always bounce ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the teams and we just collectively decide what we're going to run. what the proper course would be. And yeah, sometimes we even do some matches, some mock-up matches. We've only done that once or twice against some really tough opponents. We will do. I will run the opponent's team.
Yeah,
That way we really get to know the matchups.
Yeah, I've done that on my team, but I found that we have totally different philosophies sometimes. So you know what we might perceive as to be an effective core within that team. You know, then we prep accordingly, and then the team member will use something completely unexpected because they have a different strategy when building their team.
It's true. That's why we don't do that all too often.
Right.
But sometimes it's nice to, especially if there's some spicy Pokemon that you like completely don't know the matchups from.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little practice.
Looking at you guys in your different performances, you have no shortage of tournament sweeps, just featured on streams. I know you do your GBL sets. The Nut has very frequently posted his videos on Twitter. So, you know, you guys all have a different style in terms of battling, which makes you even more threatening, right? If you all had the same style, it would be a lot easier to adapt. But has that ever caused a disagreement among your team members? Or even potentially like when it comes to the draft, have you guys had any kind of disagreements?
Actually, when it comes to the draft, it only makes things easier. We all have our own style. We all have our own Pokemon that we prefer. So, and it's all like a little bit different. So when we look at the teams, it's easy to divide the Pokemon. And when it comes to the battles, we all realize that we like to play a little differently. So, like, there's no issue if Ricky plays a line that I personally would not run because I trust in his ability.
Right. And so, do you guys give each other crap if they get swept or something like that against your advice or vice versa? Has that ever happened?
No, not really. Well, we joke around, of course, but. You know, if it happens.
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people that look at this format. They watch the stream. They hear our announcements. They look on Twitter and they hear about the team tournament, right? Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, right? You got to go pick three other people. They have to be consistent. Then you have to go through the draft, you know, of... picking the different Pokemon and such. So there is a little bit of a barrier to entry in terms of the work. Would you have any advice to people, you know, coming into the format that are just excited but don't know where to start?
Yeah, I think one important part is to look for some team members you know, some people maybe from your local or from your remote lobbies, and like people you kind of know. It makes it a lot more fun, and just enjoy the draft. Like, you don't have to spend hours upon hours making your team. Just take a little time and then just enjoy the battles.
Awesome. So what would you like to see, just to wrap up here, what would you like to see for in the future of Go Team Up?
I think it is actually added this season, but I love the fact that double elimination is now in Go Team Up, because losing, I can't imagine that spending so much time on the team and then losing in round one is kind of a bummer. So double elimination is very nice. And I think we talked about this with the team, actually. And whilst the five bands are pretty cool, I think that it will get old soon. So perhaps a bit more limited meta would be fun. Or maybe even in different leagues, like maybe we could see some Great League, Ultra League, or Master League,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even in the same format.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. An Ultra League draft might just be viable with four. Anything
or do like one player does Great League, two players do Ultra League.
Oh, I see. So Master League. Okay, interesting. So like different players do different leagues. And you would have to potentially reach out to people that have different specializations. That could be cool. That could be very interesting, yeah. Actually. Yeah, I'm going to forward that idea to the team because they might like that. It's just always a struggle, right? Is that people, you don't want to force people that have limited resources to get definitely. Into the other leagues, but that's interesting, right? Because you're forcing the teams to recruit people that are already interested in those leagues and mix that up. It could be cool. All right.
It would create a lot more variety, I think.
Well, I will have made sure that all your socials are plugged in for all of your team. But do you have anything else you'd want to share with the community before we wrap up?
No, I don't know. Yeah, just check out our Twitter. We post battles there. Check out Go Stadium. Well, you're already listening, but check out their Twitch.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, though. I appreciate you taking the time. And it's just awesome. I hope to see more and more of you guys as the future of Go Team Up unfolds. Signups, just to remind everybody, are open for this week. Hopefully the episode will be posted before Friday, but if not, it will be closing up Friday. I believe if I can pull that up right here, the 7th, Friday the 7th. Well, again, thanks again, Tho. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll hand it back off to John.
All right. Well, thank you, Tho. You can find the EU Emperors on Twitter, at TheTechnical, at Ellie Noble, at MTG Ricky, at TheNut93, and at Alvar12Owns. We'll have all those linked down in the show notes so that you can make sure to drop them a follow. If you'd like to join this edition of Go Team Up, time is running out, but you still have time. So head on over to stadiumgaming.gg/goteamup before tonight, Friday the 7th. So it's time for you to teach us another letter, AJ. We have received just so much wonderful feedback on AJ's alphabet. I mean, we rolled out a new feature that we'll talk about later.
Yep.
And it was really just inspired by you teaching us letters, AJ. Yep.
Just let it rip.
People love AJ's alphabet. So let's get right in there. Jump up, get down, come dance with AJ. We're moving our body to the ABCs. Dance nearby, wow. Dance far away, now clap your hands. To the letter of the day, clap, clap. What's the letter, clap, clap? What's the letter, clap, clap?
D. You know, I think in the future, somehow my daughters are gonna find this, and they're gonna like, oh, cool! Like, dad was in a podcast. Let's go check it out. And they're just gonna like, randomly scroll, and they're gonna hear Elmo singing. And then they're
dance
their
with
father.
AJ. I have to tell you this. So we are rolling down the highway and my wife was listening to our most recent episode.
Oh, really?
And this segment came on and they're both, her and my daughter just jamming out to the AJ's alphabet, bumper. And my daughter's in the background, just clapping her hands, going along.
that must have been a riot for you. Just laughing at your own joke.
It was, I was just having a fantastic time. So, the letter this week is D.
Yes.
Tell us, AJ, what does D stand for in the world of PvP?
D is for DPE, damage per energy. So, it's
metric. Wait. Hold on.
What's up?
It's just one letter, D.
Yes, damage.
What does the letter D stand for?
Damage per energy. See, I'm just including
DPE.
It. Yes.
Okay.
DPE. Anyway, it's a metric we use for charge moves to determine how good they are in PvP, similar to how we use ranking or stat product for Pokemon, right? So when you divide damage of a given move by the energy required to reach it, This is for charge moves. It that result comes out to the value that we call DPE. So it captures how efficient a move is and accounting for the amount of damage that it puts out when using it in battle.
So what is considered to be quote-unquote good DPE?
Yeah, so if you go on pvpoke.com, you click on the three circles on the upper right-hand corner and you hit moves, you can actually list out all of the charge moves and you can order them based on damage, based on turn, or based on damage, based on energy, or based on DPE. So if you look, anything that's at or above 2 DPE are almost always those quote-unquote required moves on Pokemon that have them, and because of how good they tend to be, they normally are the required moves, right? So think about like Meteor Mash or Hydro Cannon, right? Like you very, very rarely are you going to see a Swampert without Hydro Cannon because it enjoys that really, really high damage output. Moves around 1.8 DPE, they're normally excellent moves. However, high DPE, high energy moves aren't favored as much. So some moves fall in this category. They get close to it. I think like Blizzard, for example. Well, like Blizzard is a high DPE move, but because it takes up so much energy, it's a little bit of an artificial DPE in that sense, right? It's still a good move, but not as good in some cases as, say, like Mudbomb, right? Moves around 1.6 DPE, they're good moves, but the bulk of Pokemon are using them just, they're viable because of these moves. They're not amazing like the 1.8s and the 2s of the world, but 1.6 is definitely respectable. Moves below 1.3 DPE, that's like garbage tier, okay? So you're thinking, Acid Spray for sure. If it wasn't for the debuff boost capabilities, it is absolutely garbage to not get that shielded, right? Bone Club, horrible DPE move, especially without stab. There's a ton of them out there, right? But if you look, you know, below that threshold, because there's so many other great moves out there, 1.3 DPE is pretty darn awful. PV Poke tends to favor the better DPE charge move once shields are down. So if you plug in a simulation, it will tend to, for example, like Lucario has Power Up Punch and Shadow Ball. It'll tend to charge up to the Shadow Ball and throw a Power Up Punch bait, right? Power Up Punch is a low DPE move. Shadow Ball is a high DPE move. Even though Power Up Punch has stab and Shadow Ball doesn't. So Swampert, well, there are some exceptions to that, right? So like, for example, you might actually want to consider going for the high damage move instead of the high DPE move. So a really classic example, both in Ultra League and in Great League, is Swampert versus Swampert, right? Hydro Cannon is higher DPE than Earthquake. However, one Earthquake will do more damage than one Hydro Cannon. It's just that two Hydro Cannons always do more damage than one Earthquake. So if you think that you're not going to get to that second Hydro Cannon, launch the Earthquake instead. So that is generally how that works. And hope you enjoyed that. John, I'd love to hear more about this new feature we have on our website.
Well, thank you, AJ, for teaching us another letter this week. Honestly, it's so inspiring to have a teacher like you for the community. And you inspired us at Stadium Gaming to now introduce our very own glossary of PvP terms, including things like DPE and even things like a Ramberto, which means just, you know, trying to go all out and beat your opponent while keeping your two shields. You can find all of those definitions at stadiumgaming.gg/glossary. And a special thanks to all those who worked on this, including Choosemaster, Math Magician, Polymers Up, and our team of web devs, including our CTO, Chris Scott, our lead web dev, Tiden, and Travis as well. So thank you to all of you for your hard work in putting this together, and just so much more that's going on behind the scenes that we hope to unveil to you very, very soon. So that about wraps up this episode. Wait.
Whoa.
We got to speculate. It's time to head into the station, AJ.
That's right.
Speculation Station. We're in the station. We're back.
How are you going to do me like that? You're going to try to skip Speculation Station 2 weeks in a row? That ain't right. That ain't right. I'm
trying to trick you.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, it worked.
To set up a trick room.
Well, speaking of tricks, I think it'd be a good week to talk about status effects, right? Try Attack has been data mined recently by the Pokeminers. I'll have a link in the description in the show notes. And it was basically famous in the main series games as a move that could inflict paralysis, I believe. It could burn or freeze a Pokemon randomly. And it might not end up having any of those features in Pokemon Go. It might just be a move that Porygon gets as its Community Day signature move. But honestly, I'd like to see some form of status effect. And I know there's been like all kinds of crazy theories out there. I'll give mine. I think that it would be cool if some status moves affected energy gain. So, or like even the speed, the turn speed of fast attacks. Because right now, all of the status effects are either increasing attack, decreasing attack, increasing defense, decreasing the defense, both of you, yourself, or the opponent. And that is all fine, but it would be really cool to see like a really high energy generation move like Lock On get a nerf, not from changing the stats in the Game Master, but like you launching a charge move that just reduces its capability. I mean, like, can you imagine how devastating it would be if you launch a charge move at Registeel and suddenly the lock-ons are charging half as fast?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even thought of anything like that happening. That's really an interesting take. I don't know that I've even seen that in the main series games where it affected... I know, obviously, it's a strictly turn-based in VGC, and you can affect your opponent's speed... and in which it would, you know, often allow your opponent to get off multiple moves, you know, basically skipping your turn, so to speak. So that's really interesting. I think it would add a lot of complexity to the game, more than people think is in it right now. It is a very complex game and meta to work around. A lot of people still, you know, only see it as tap, tap, tap.
Right,
but there still is a lot of complex gameplay that can be brought into it, and I think status effects could definitely bring more of that into the fold. So who knows? I mean, we don't know how they're going to work in Mega Evolutions, and honestly, I would love to see Tri-Attack be sort of an introduction of something like this. If I had to guess, though, I feel like Tri-Attack... is possibly going to be something to make Porygon, you know, just a little bit better, with possibly having Lock On and Tri-Attack being something of a Body Slam clone, maybe. Oof.
That would be so busted. I mean,
yeah,
not because Porygon is amazing.
Well, it's pretty glassy, though.
But, like, if you look at... So, like, some of the most spammiest move combinations like that come to mind is like Snarl, Leaf Blade on Shiftry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that comes out really quick. Lock On Body Slam takes almost half that time. It's a little bit more than that. Yeah. That is insane how much, like how many times it could issue those body slams. Like it could charge up to almost three and just like sneak in lock-ons because it's just a one turn move anyway. That would be a problem. And it's so baity. I mean, like it has Blizzard, right? Porygon Z has that. It has, I think, Zap Cannon and
Solar Beam.
Yep. One of them has Hyper Beam too.
And yeah, they also have Hyper Beam.
Yeah. You know, it's a good thing that normal Porygon doesn't have lock on because Legacy Discharge would come out so fast and it'd be pretty annoying to deal with.
Yeah.
In Great League, I think.
We saw there was an article that came out on Reddit talking about a third charge move slot and talking about different status affecting moves. And I thought that was pretty interesting as well. I was the type of player, honestly, in the main series games that I immediately just TM'd away or made my Pokemon forget moves like, you know, Growl or, Glare or anything
that was
status effects. But, you know, you watch some of these competitive VGC players now, especially, you know, I watch A-Drive on Twitch and, you know, when he was grinding to make his competitive team, you know, trying to get hidden abilities and trying to be able to set up a team around, you know, a special ability or use moves that will, you know, increase or flip a certain stat or, you know, cause, you know, extra damage to another Pokemon, you know, like a Leech Seed or something like that to slowly sap away extra health each turn, you know, even while you're still using, you know, more moves. So, I don't know. Let's hear from the community. You guys, let us know what you think about this, and are you excited to see Tri-Attack in the game? I know a lot of people that I know are really fond of the shiny Porygon and are looking forward to that possibly being a community day very soon. But for all you battlers out there, let us know what you think of, you know, how do you think it would affect the game adding in status effect moves?
Yeah. It could also be like, what's it called? Flying Press, where it's just like based on the typing of the opponent, it just hits for that typing. Like, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm excited. If you guys, on Twitter, you can certainly add us at Ghost Stadium PvP, or you can join the Discord channel. We have a Discord channel that you can certainly give us suggestions to talk about, or you can just theory craft with us. We welcome that. I check that channel regularly. John pretends like he's too busy, though.
Well, you know, I am a 30-year-old, so
you got to take your naps.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time in between all my naps.
Right.
So, I think that's it. I think we just finished another episode of Stadium Cast.
Wow, good times.
Episode 16. Seems like just yesterday you were making episode 0.1 in the back of your Astro van with a coat hanger and a
microwave
as a microphone,
because you shut down that project and I had to beg you for months until you were involved in it yourself. It wasn't going to happen. So
yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. It's been a ton of fun and looking forward to more.
All right. Well, if you guys want to find out what's happening inside the stadium, be sure to check out our website at stadiumgaming.gg. You can find this episode on our podcast page. You can find all of our resources and new tools that are coming out, including new merchandise and new ways that you can enjoy Pokemon Go and even more. So thank you for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Toodle.
Toodles.